Hello, and welcome to the Television Spotlight on the Comic Book Page podcast. My name is John Mayo. In this episode, we'll be having a spoiler-filled discussion about a television show that we think you'll enjoy. In this episode, I am joined by my sister Kay, and we're going to have a spoiler-filled discussion on the third and final season of the Lost in Space series from Netflix that started in 2018?
Yes.
So first season was 2018, second season was 2019, third season was 2021. Part of that was pandemic delay. Part of that was just, I think most of it actually was pandemic delay.
I think variations on pandemic delay in terms of they filmed during the pandemic, which was, delay because of quarantining to film during the pandemic. But then you also have productions needing longer times for each episode to film. So that's another delay.
Well, and post-production, because there's a significant amount of that here.
Exactly.
And overall, I mean, this was 8 episodes. I think the other 2 seasons were maybe 10.
Yeah, because it's a total of 28 episodes.
Overall, I'd say they did a really good job throughout the whole series. This season was no exception. They landed the ending, but I think the delay didn't help.
I'm curious if there was a change in writers between seasons 2 and 3.
How come?
I'm wondering if when they set up finding the Fortuna, what they had in mind versus how that played out.
That was one of the things that I think didn't go anywhere near as I expected. I thought we were going to get a lot more of the Fortuna, that crew, obviously Judy's dad, which we did get, but we never got any kind of resolution on what happened to the other members of his crew.
Well, and we got Judy's dad in literally fits and spurts.
Yeah.
And we had some things that were ripe fodder for dramatics that's just kind of a, nope, that's over and done with. We're going to shut that down with one line of dialogue and set it aside.
I have to wonder if the plan had been to do 10 episodes and they trimmed it to 8.
And that very likely could be.
I don't know what they would have cut or whatever.
But when you think budget-wise in terms of if you're adding 2 days to the production schedule for every episode.
Yeah.
Yeah. The math kind of works.
It may have been they had budgeted for filming for X amount of time and they could do so much. And I don't know, maybe this was always the plan. Who knows? Overall, I really liked it, but I did find a couple of times, because we had to rewatch a little bit of the end of the last episode of the second season before starting this, because I'm like, where did we leave off?
Well, and I have a pretty good idea where we left characters in terms of who was with who, and kind of a general idea of, okay, I knew for sure the kids went towards the Fortuna.
I knew the kids went towards the Fortuna. I think I had misremembered an aspect from the movie with they had seen the other guy or whatever, which in that case would have been Don's friend versus Judy's father here or whatnot. But I had also, like, forgotten the reason the kids had gone off on their own was because they were just having an alien robot attack.
I had totally forgotten about the alien robots attacking, I guess that would be the big colony ship.
The Resolute.
And the Resolute being destroyed to try and destroy the robots.
Well, there was also, and it was good that we'd rewatched that because it was either that or one of the previously on clips at one point where we got the guy giving the codes so Maureen could crash the Resolute or whatever.
It was in that.
When that guy came back this season for an episode, I was like, who is this guy?
Yeah.
And that has nothing to do with their storytelling, but a matter of it's been at least a year since we watched it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it would have benefited me and my poor memory to have rewatched the first 2 seasons leading into this. And they did a good enough job on the ending. I may still go back through at some point and rewatch everything in rapid succession.
Yeah.
Because they had some great character moments throughout the series, some great action moments.
Well, the final episodes had some great callbacks to the pilot.
Yes.
I mean, when we're at the dam and they need someone to go swimming and do something very difficult, and Judy's like, I've proven I can do this. And they're going, yeah, you only do that for family and you nearly died. And it's to Don, you know, what do you think you are, first of all?
Yeah.
You know, which was a great callback to a moment earlier in the episode.
Well, I think that moment earlier in the episode, when it's only family can go at this point, they should have all gotten in there once, you know, Will's getting taken care of, look around, it's like, where's Don?
Yeah. One of the things they totally dropped this season was the byplay between Don and Judy.
Yeah, I was a little disappointed with that. I guess they felt her character time was being spent with the father.
I wondered if it was that, or I wondered if it was fan response. And there are two ways to go on the fan response. One is the cynical, being aware that other shows have had negative response to interracial relationships.
I would have actually thought it would have been the age difference.
And that was my other question.
Yeah. I think they played well together, and I think if they had had more time, they not only could have done that, but then also play Don's interaction with her father.
Mm-hmm.
And that could have been a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And there were callbacks to a couple of other things, and some of those callbacks worked better for me than others, depending on what I had remembered better or not.
The Oreos worked for me.
I didn't catch the reference, but I understood the reference, if you know what I mean.
Early in first season, it was kind of a running gag of one of them had wanted to use up those ounces of their allotment for a bag of Oreos, and Maureen had talked them out of it because every ounce of the allotment is so precious. Mm-hmm. And then when they got into a really tough bind, she had said, go to this cabinet and get me the blue container. And when they opened it, it was a bag of Oreos.
Mm-hmm.
Because she hadn't wanted the kids to use up their allotment.
They did some really good stuff with the family dynamic on this show,
mm-hmm.
including how the three kids were kind of a little split at the beginning of the season, how they all came back together. I think splitting the kids off from the parents, both for the Robinsons, but also for the whole expedition group or whatever, really worked because it gave some of the kids a chance to shine, gave the parents time to do their own thing.
I think part of why it worked so well for me is because they didn't take a Lord of the Flies approach.
The kids all got along and worked.
These are very responsible kids who literally tested into their positions.
Yeah.
And they didn't fall apart without the adults. And as they point out kind of later in the season, hey, we even rode to the parents' rescue.
I would like an explanation on how some of the really young kids tested in.
Yes.
But I will say one of the things that they did out of necessity when you've got this many child actors, particularly the one who played Will, who aged the most visibly between seasons 2 and 3, they jumped forward a year, I think they had jumped forward in time between first and second season for similar reasons. But when they got to that scene of we're jumping forward, it was 3 days later. But there was a gap between the 3 and the days, and then in flips of 5. And then in fades in like a 9 or something. And you realize it's not 3 days. It's not a month. It's like a year.
Yeah.
And it was beautifully done.
Yeah.
It was a little gimmicky or whatever, but I haven't seen that before. And while I'm not a big fan of jumping forward that much time over what could be an interesting story of, well, how did they settle in? How did they, you know, do all this? I was okay with it out of the necessity given the kids aging.
Yeah.
Which wasn't as obvious with the sisters, but definitely for Will.
What annoyed me when we were on that planet with just the kids is when Dr. Smith accuses Will of, basically embezzling.
yeah. Skimming the books, kind of, with the raw metal they're trying to mine and refine to repair the ship.
Okay, so we have handwritten, pen and paper accounting records that Will is somehow keeping. That he hasn't noticed the robot was skimming material between retrieving it at the river where Will wasn't and bringing it to Will on the ship.
It was a little unclear exactly where the material was getting skimmed and how and what was going on there. It was clear the robot had later dumped some of it, which we'd seen part of the scene but not all the scene, so they pretty much played fair. And they really, throughout the season, the series, we're playing with what does the robot understand? What level of consciousness does he have?
Mm-hmm.
And even at the end, it's a little ambiguous.
Well, and
while still being clear, which is weird.
Well, there was also, though, how does he define certain terms?
Well, not only how does he define them, but is he stating an imperative, a question, a request? When he's speaking in, you know, two or three word sentences,
yeah,
it leaves a lot to the imagination. And I loved one of Penny's lines later of prepositions. We're going to teach you about prepositions. Yes. And we'll work on that.
Yes.
In trouble or in danger.
Yes.
And it was funny because, I mean, having the robot speak this way throughout was definitely a callback and a nod to the original series and the iconicness of Danger, Will Robinson, the line. But it played well throughout the series.
Mm-hmm.
And there were times where it's like, no, he's not asking or telling you, you're misinterpreting what he's saying.
Mm-hmm.
But not in a way of you idiots.
Yeah.
Because these are, as you said, they've all tested into their positions here. They're all very smart people. So I really have enjoyed this series. I've got mixed feelings on this being the final series because it ended nicely.
Yeah.
I mean, they could do more, but it would be start of another story kind of a thing, and I'd be open to that. But while I want more, I was happy getting a self-contained kind of beginning, middle, and end roller coaster ride.
Mm-hmm.
And this was very much a roller coaster ride.
Yeah, I think more so than I anticipated. I mean, for me, there was more combat, more fighting, more of that type of will we or won't we survive, as opposed to, like, in one of the earlier seasons where we're stranded on a planet and can the planet even provide food for us type will we or won't we survive.
Yeah, it was definitely a bit more action adventure-y. And I would argue a bit more science fiction-y, even though I think there was obviously tons of aspects of the space travel and stuff like that. But the different alien life forms they encountered and how they were kind of threatening their existence and such, I don't feel they got repetitive on that. It didn't feel like a monster of the week kind of a thing. But there was one or two times I'm like, oh, you see that bug? That's going to end up killing them somehow, or trying to.
That is a bad thing, especially when you call it cute.
Oh, man, I will freely admit I would not do well in that kind of narrative world. I would be like the Doc Smith of the original series, afraid of my own shadow kind of a thing. What the hell is this alien? Yes, it looks like a harmless little bug or whatever. It's not going to be.
Yeah. Well, there becomes an aspect. Well, like when the bouquet of flowers is handed over.
Mm.
Oh, they're beautiful. Yes. There's a reason that you keep your distance.
Yes, we call them the fart flowers for a reason or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I really have got to commend the casting people for this show.
Yes.
Because I think everybody they got did an outstanding job.
Well, and I think like the guy who played Victor,
mm-hmm.
who was, I don't want to say self-centered when we first met him, mm. but it was very much a, you know, my Jupiter is going to take off and my family is going to be okay. Whereas, you know, by the time we've come to here and he realizes, you know, John is kind of off his rocker because, you know, he's upset with his son having been injured and all these things. And he's charging after something without necessarily thinking the problem through.
Yeah. He realizes he's kind of gotten, I don't say emotionally invested, but jumped to conclusions and stuff. But that character getting that arc to where he's able to tell John, forgive yourself, do this, here's yeah. what's going on, here's the arc I've gone through kind of a thing.
And thanks to you, I'm a better man, I'm a better father. You know, thanks to you, I can sit here and recognize I may not be happy my son spent a year away from me, but my son came back a man.
Mm-hmm. And all the kids screw up.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's as much because they were all able to work together to survive together.
It was a great scene for a second or third level character or whatever. And I've got to wonder, is that something that they had built in from the beginning?
Mm.
I mean, I'd love to see what the writing process of this show was. They had callbacks at the end that really, you know, paid off for stuff at the beginning that worked well just in and of itself at the beginning. But having some of these characters have some of those arcs, having a few familiar faces when the Robinsons finally get to the colony.
Yeah.
And such. And it was just, it wasn't feeling like it was contrived, tied off in a bow kind of a thing. It felt fulfilling.
Well, I think Dr. Smith is actually the best example of that.
Mm.
Because, I mean, she spent 2.5 seasons or more trying to avoid where she ended up.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, you might as well say she walked into where she ended up. Because the journey she took with the Robinsons made her realize she hadn't been being her best self. She hadn't been being the person she wanted to be. And if she was going to be a better person with this new start, she had to change.
She had to own her mistakes, and she did.
Yeah.
And there were times where it's like, I can see her going that way. Other times it felt, I don't want to say out of character, but there were a couple of times where it kind of did. You know what I mean?
Well, there were aspects of, wait, what is she getting out of this?
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, she was actually capable of learning, particularly from Will Robinson. If even a kid can do this.
Yeah. I guess they'd done such a good job showing how manipulative and stuff she was.
Yeah.
That were I in that narrative universe, I don't know that I could have ever trusted her.
But there was also an aspect of she ended up in a place where she got to spend we don't know how long not doing any chores, not worrying about 3 meals a day. I mean, she had a cushy life to herself.
I would have liked to have seen her having started to really become her best self with the kids on that planet, earning her keep and stuff mm-hmm. like that, falling back into the bad ways when she's back around the adults,
mm.
and then having Penny or somebody kind of call her on that.
I think what did annoy me actually was her getting called out on not really speaking French and only speaking a tiny bit after she spent a year teaching French.
Yeah, yeah. Which, why for any reason, when you're going into space and everybody's speaking English, why would you teach kids another language?
She was trying to be useful.
Yeah.
In a way that required no physical labor.
But she apparently can read and learn very quickly and such, so
mm-hmm.
other things she could have taught, although it would have been easier to have been called out on if not getting it right. She was one of those characters you're supposed to love to hate.
Yeah.
Just as the original Doc Smith was in the original series. And she was a very different character, even though the broad brushstrokes are very similar, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Can't trust them, are they sabotaging things, etc. I mean, she was kind of my least favorite character of the core group, but she's supposed to be.
Yeah, but they tried to redeem her this season, and they did a surprisingly good job of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's one where I'd like to go back and rewatch some of the earlier episodes. Like the one where we flash back to how she was on the mission to begin with.
Yeah.
How she kind of set herself up on the Resolute and a few things like that.
Yeah. Well, definitely the what went down when she took her sister's place.
Mm-hmm.
Or the stepsister, half-sister, whatever. That was. Yeah.
Yeah. Because they did a great job really fleshing out that character and such. And using her in a variety of ways.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, I think they did a great job. Some of the effects were just amazing to watch. I would be hard-pressed to name anywhere where I thought they slacked off on the special effects in any way. The robot effects were good.
Mm-hmm.
The space flight effects, all the little, you know, alien life forms and stuff were really well done. There was one or two places where I would have liked a little more on the writing to explain, you know, what are we seeing and whatnot. You know, the race that created the robots, I would have liked a little bit more on.
Yeah.
You know, why the robots were created. We got kind of the insight as to what had happened that was a defining moment in that, but it still felt a little was kind of, I don't want to say missing, but there was more to be had there.
No, I kind of feel towards missing. I mean, we got the why the race is extinct.
Well, no, we got how the race was extinct.
Yes, and that's a much better way to phrase it.
I mean, we know how they were kind of killed off, but we don't know why did that happen?
And we don't know the when. And the only reason I care about the when is because the planet it happened on is the one that the Fortuna ended up at. And we know that was based on the timestamp on the CC footage 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And that was their Christmas star, as it was referenced.
Which goes back to the Christmas star that started the whole we've got to get off Earth and all of that.
Right. And we now have the engine that'll get us off Earth.
Yeah.
So basically for me, it's a, I don't think they went extinct timing wise with the Fortuna arriving.
No, I think the Fortuna was how the aliens found out about Earth, but not when their race had gone extinct. I think that predated it.
And that's what I think too, but I'd like answers.
It had to be by a fair margin, because they had already died and gone skeletal.
That's what I believe too.
But I'd also like to rewatch the episode where they give us the backstories to why people are doing the exodus from Earth and all of that. Because again, it's been a year or two since I've watched those.
They were doing the exodus from Earth because they had to wear masks when they went outside.
Yes, that trope of plagues where you can't breathe others' air and how unrealistic that must be. Yeah.
Sorry.
It's a risk of science fiction of certain aspects not aging well. And that we can't breathe the air thing, not the worst I've seen.
No, but it feels different just 2 or 3 years later, which is funny.
Not as bad as the launch of The Resistance from Artists, Writers, and Artisans. And their big first launch was written by J. Michael Straczynski, and it was about people getting powers from a worldwide plague. It was released literally with the last comic book shipment at the start of the pandemic.
Oh, yeah.
And I was reading that, and basically, yep, too soon.
Yeah, yeah.
And I reread it later. It's a good story and such, but if you hit it the wrong time.
Mm-hmm.
And there are things that I do think if I rewatch the series, I'm going to look at post-pandemic, hopefully post-pandemic, but perhaps during pandemic, differently than, you know, maybe how I had originally watched it. I'm trying to remember when we watched the first season of this, if it was during the pandemic or not.
No, because it was soon after it came out in 2018.
Okay. I just, again, can't remember. It's been so long.
Yeah, sadly.
But yeah, I really enjoyed this. Also, I think whoever designed the Jupiter ships did a really good job.
I agree. But when they were in the docking ring thing, and then the Fortuna came in, I got really confused about the layout of things.
The confusion I had around that time was where the airlock was at the back of the ship versus how they were all fitting in, and the basement area that they had to go into at one point that got eels or whatever, first or second season.
Mm-hmm.
But overall, the hub center room, the hallway around it, the outer rooms, where, you know, the whole layout and the two levels of it gave them a lot to work with.
Yeah.
In terms of just how to stage the story.
Mm-hmm.
I'd love to see a good kind of, you know, deck plan or floor plan or whatever of it. And if they haven't done, you know, a toy model or whatever, where you can see the different levels and such, I think it'd be cool if they did. But for that matter, the spacesuit designs, the robot design, of course, all of it was just really well done.
Yeah.
Because there have been a couple, it's like, yeah, it just doesn't make sense. Why would you put this there or what have you?
Mm-hmm.
I did like when we got back to the parents at the beginning of the season, how they had kind of docked all the Jupiters together.
Yeah.
I am quite curious how they built that and what they built that out of.
Yes, and how they were moving between the Jupiters.
I had taken it as they had created a circular loop that they had, that was, when they rotate, the outer part was down for the ships, if you know what I mean. And that they had gotten it to where there was like air locks or whatever to loop them to where they could get from ship to ship during all of that. They'd built basically a thing for their ships to dock into and pull out of.
Mm-hmm.
So how they could then get around that gap and stuff when the ship's out, I don't know. I'd need to take a closer look.
There was room for the Fortuna.
I think the Fortuna pulled into where the Jupiter 2 would have been.
Yes, but the Jupiter 2 was with the kids for the year, which means they had an empty slot all year.
Yeah, probably.
I mean, I just had minor...
Or had they lost a ship?
Not that I recall, but that doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, I'd have to go back and rewatch. And I think it's one that'll hold up to rewatching.
Yeah, I think so too.
You know, knowing how some stuff ends, I may notice things on a second watch that I didn't on the first. And to me, that's a sign of good writing.
Well, they made good use of the fact that Don West was a crew member who just got to ferry people back and forth and back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
they made surprisingly good use throughout of his little smuggling hobby.
They made him a much more interesting character than I think he might have been, certainly in the original series. And even just some of the character bits they gave with the chicken and such.
That was hilarious.
And surprisingly long-lasting.
Yes, yes.
The actor took what could have been just a stupid aspect of the story and made it really play.
Yeah.
And again, it goes down to both the writing, the casting, and everything.
Mm-hmm.
They just did a good job on that. It's not often I get to the end of a series thinking, you know what, I need to go rewatch the whole thing. And again, part of that's the time lag between the seasons. Part of that is I felt they did land the ending.
Mm-hmm.
And part of it is it's just a fun show to watch.
Yeah.
Now, it does have a bit more of, I don't say the jump scare type stuff, because it's not quite that, but the you're about to get eaten by the alien monster sort of roller coaster ride aspect.
Yeah, or fall off a cliff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or have the cliff just drop out beneath you,
yeah,
even if you're not going to fall off it. And there are a couple of times where it's like, wait, your plan is to do what?
Yeah.
It's like, okay, but you set that up, so I'll give you, mm-hmm, you know. They do make space seem crazy dangerous. Yeah. Actually, space not so much. Planets, totally. Alien, yeah, planets, absolutely.
Yeah.
Other than the Resolute, space, really not that dangerous.
Well, but what drives the series for me is the empathy and compassion that Will shows and is capable of.
I think there's that. I think the other thing, the other two things that permeate the whole series is the heavy focus on family,
mm-hmm,
trust in yourself, your siblings, your family. Every problem is solvable and such. But I think that is partnered with a certain degree of, I think the term I've heard used for this is competence porn, where these people are so competent.
Oh, yeah.
Anything is doable, you know?
Well, but there was very much a teamwork aspect in terms of, yes, it was definitely family-driven, family circle, but once Don was on board and part of the family, he was part of the family.
Oh, yeah. And I'd, again, like to go back and rewatch those episodes where he's first, mm-hmm, realizing these are people who are going to survive. I will stay with them.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this season there was the one bit where I don't know what that silent exchange between you two was, but I'm in.
Mm-hmm. He had some really good lines of, okay, something happened here. I don't need to understand. They're going to need some help. And
mm-hmm,
I'm trying to remember if Don was with the family when they were on the planet growing the corn.
I believe he was.
Okay. And I think that's really how he kind of got in,
yeah,
with the family. And that's one, again, going back to where everyone had to get in their Jupiters and all that stuff at the get-go. I'd, again, like to rewatch that episode, too. It was the one that Bill Mumy mm-hmm, guest starred in. Cameoed. Well,
yeah, because he didn't end up with them in the Jupiter in the initial get-go. But then right after the initial crashes, basically.
Yeah, he was one of the people they picked up at that point.
Yeah.
And they did a good job on just the community building. Some of the people we got to know on, I forget if it was the second or third planet. They went through a number of planets on this. But on where all the people, yeah, had finally gotten down and stayed there for a little bit until they realized, oh, wait, there's a black hole. We should get the hell out of here. They introduced a lot of families, the Watanabes, you know, and a few others. We come back to them later, or at least they're referenced. There's, yeah, some familiar faces.
Well, and when we finally make it to Alpha Centauri, and the Chancellor there is like, look, I don't know you people. And Victor's standing up for them, saying, if I've learned anything, it's that the Robinsons tend to know what they're talking about and tend to be right.
Which I'm sure if we go back is going to be the exact opposite stance he had at the beginning.
Yeah. You know, at the beginning, he didn't want to take their risky plans, and he was more in the Chancellor's position.
Yeah, but there comes a point where you've got to watch this family get past obstacle after obstacle after how the hell did they survive after how the hell did they survive, and how the hell did they keep all of us alive?
Yeah.
And then to have gotten to finally Alpha Centauri, have your with your kids, who are then telling you, here's how their kids helped us survive for the last year,
mm-hmm,
on this otherwise uninhabitable planet. You kind of just gotta give them a little bit of leeway and stuff.
Yeah.
So it's one of those things where they are impossibly good at what they do, yet have the sense of fallibility.
Yeah.
Because I don't know how many times any of them made just serious mistakes.
It's an interesting question, though.
And again, that's where rewatching it, I think, could be a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
So I, again, really enjoyed this. And as much as I did, I think if I had just recently watched the first two seasons, it would have played even better for me.
Yeah, I think every season is great, and I think the three come together to be great. It's a show that, unlike Continuum, it has a great beginning and lives up to it at the end.
Well, but Continuum was one where they kind of set certain expectations at the beginning. This one, I wasn't thinking, okay, it's got to end when they all get to Alpha Centauri and live happily ever after. I mean, the fact that they did was a nice surprise.
Yeah, I was hoping that the main cast would, well, Dr. Smith being a possible exception, would live.
But if you think about it, that wasn't the case in the original series, and that was not the case in the movie.
Mm.
This is the first Robinson family in Lost in Space actually get a happy ending.
They earned it.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
It's just atypical for the franchise. But again, it also made for a nice, comfortable place to land at in terms of an ending.
Mm-hmm.
There are some unanswered questions. There are a couple things that they could do more of, either in comic book stories, novels, or whatever. Or if they chose to come back and revisit this universe and, you know, on Netflix or something, which could be fun.
I also wonder, though, if part of why they decided to go ahead and bring it to a nice close was because they realized what pandemic filming was doing.
I was under the impression that it was always going to be the end of the series. For
interesting. Third. Okay. Interesting.
So I don't think that was pandemic related, but I do not know that for sure.
Hmm. Interesting.
So if anyone does, be nice to find out.
Yeah.
And again, if there's cool toys to be had on some of this, because I haven't really seen them, or if there's, you know how they've done like the blueprint books for Star Wars and Star Trek and stuff? If there's something like that for this version of Lost in Space, I think that'd be cool. So I'd like to know about that.
Yeah.
Anything else?
I think that does it.
Cool.
The show notes and forum for this podcast can be found at www.comicbookpage.com under the podcast and forum sections of the website. Please email us at theguys@comicbookpage.com and let us know what you think of what was discussed in this episode. Thanks for listening.